Hey Rick, how you doing?
Good, Megan. Happy Tuesday again.
Happy Tuesday. Tuesday at 2 p.m. Here we are.
Yeah, that's right. Beautiful day today.
Lines.
That's right.
You've got like between you. Okay, how many years experience do you have? Like 38, 39?
I got into the mortgage business in the spring of 19, drumroll, 81.
Oh my gosh. Holy cow. That's 40 years.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
I know. I'm only 35 now.
I know. How did that happen? So you have 40 years and I just celebrated 23 years. So between both of us, there's 63 years of experience here.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It is. So we have two topics that we were talking about this week that we both feel pretty passionate about. So I'm going to be a gentle woman and I'm going to let you talk about your topic first.
Okay, cool. So look, borrowers for the most part don't know how loans get priced. Well, what determines interest rates? They, you know, it's like, okay, what's the rate? Well, there's a lot of variables that go in to what that rate is. And so in the lending world, we look at FICO scores. We all know about the FICO scores, but so at what point does that FICO score impact what the cost of that loan is? And so with respect to pricing, they go in increments. So for example, let's start off, let's say it's 680, right? So it's 680 to 699 as one rate. From 700 to 719 is another rate. From 720 to 739 is another rate. And then above 740, it's all the same rate.
Interesting. So if somebody says I have an 830 FICO, they're going to get the same rate as someone with a 750 FICO. It's all considered a good FICO score. Congratulations.
Yes. Yes. So, and so it's important because what also impacts that rate is the down payment. So for example, if you have a 40% down payment, let's say, for example, a 680 FICO score has less and less impact to the cost of that loan. Okay. But for the most part, buyers are between 5% and 20% down for the most part. So that's why those FICO scores are really important. What happens oftentimes though, is someone has like pretty darn good credit, but maybe they're a 716 credit score. Okay. Most lenders go, okay, great, here's your rate. No problem, because that's a pretty good rate and it's a pretty good score.
Right.
I don't really view it that way because look, if you're at a 716 FICO score, you're only 4 points away from the next best rate.
Right.
Right. And when I say by the next best rate, that could be a difference of, let's say, a half of a discount point cost. Let's say you could do a 2 7/8 rate at 0 points at say a 721 or 720 FICO. But that 2 7/8 at a 717 FICO is a half point cost. Okay, right. So if you have a $500,000 loan, that's a difference of $2,500 in cost.
Right.
So when I see that kind of a situation on a credit report, the first thing I'm going to do is look at the overall report and see what tweaks we can do to that report to get that score to a 720 from a 717, for example. Okay, and there's a lot of factors that go into that. But I look at that, sometimes it's simply a matter of paying down a credit card a little bit. Or maybe there was a small collection account that we can get removed and get that score up. So there are certain tweaks that we can do. And then when we advise our buyer on how to do that, our credit bureau behind the scenes is called a rapid rescore. Because when you make those changes to the credit report, it takes the credit bureaus 30 or so days to catch up with that. It's not automatic. But the challenge is when we're in the middle of buying a house, we don't want to wait 30 days to see what's going to happen, right?
Right, right.
And so we have our credit bureau do what's called a rapid rescore. And what that means is that we'll take that data from our borrower, give that to our credit bureau, and they will actually manually go in and update the credit bureaus and then rescore it. That process, generally speaking, is about 5 days to do that once they get the data, compared to waiting 30 days. Now, there's a fee to do that. And by the way, on every case, I pay for that fee as a courtesy to our buyers. Okay, that's so nice. I don't mind doing that because I'm really driven by the lowest rate as well. I don't want our buyers to pay a higher rate if we can avoid
it. And relationships.
And relationships. It's all about the relationship. It's the most important, right, for us. And so long-term, that impacts our buyers. And it's really, at the end of the day, guess what? It's the right thing to do, right? Mm-hmm. And so we save our buyers more money, they get better guidance, and they get a better overall experience.
Right, right.
Yeah. It's more work on my side. It's more work on my team's side. But my team is prepared for that. They know it. They know how I work. And, right. And they always do it. Yep.
Well, I think that also makes a really strong point for getting pre-qualified so that you can see all this up front so that you have a chance to make any adjustments before your hair's on fire and you have to perform grow.
Yeah, that's a great point because, you know, we go into a 21-day escrow. It's going to be nearly impossible to make those changes and update things within that period. So it's best to get pre-qualified up front. Let us see what we're working with, right? Work on getting the documents, get the loan ready to go. So that way, when we make an offer, we know the game plan, we know the payments, we know the FICO scores, and we are prepared to close in 21 days or 30 days or whatever that timeline is. We're ready to go.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Well, thank you, Rick, for that. And it's definitely worth it to save $2,500, you know?
Yeah, every time.
I love that. I love how thoughtful you are about that process. And, you know, I know that, you know, if someone calls a call center, they're not going to get the same kind of careful analysis of the situation as they would with you. So thank you, Rick, for taking very good care of my client. I love that.
Appreciate you as well. Thank you.
And my topic for this week, it's a double topic week, is open houses.
Yeah. So they're back.
They're back. And they've been back since June 15th in California. Okay. We've been having open houses. And I think that in general, the public has a misconception about what an open house is. Okay. So I'm going to tell you and them what it is. An open house is a great tool to give you a reason to talk about a house that's for sale. It gives you a great reason to post the open house online so that people that are signed up for different websites, they get a notification, hey, it's an open house this weekend. Mm-hmm. Or it gives a lot of exposure and the ability to just sort of pop in, pop out without an appointment to see the open house. So, you know, during the whole pandemic, we had epic gains, epic sales, just stuff that your head was spinning around and not one open house. So is the open house a tool to get a house sold or... I mean, what's the place of the open house? So I believe that it is a convenience to see the house when it comes onto the market, you know. It's also nice to have the listing office there because then they can answer questions about the house or talk about the neighborhood or that sort of thing. But overall, it's really not the only tool that someone should be using. Or it's not something that you should completely depend on. Like, oh, well, we're having an open house this weekend. That'll surely do it because it won't.
Right, right.
But you said before, and I've said it, I'll say it every single day, is that the preparation in putting a house up for sale happens before the house even goes up for sale. All of the work is done before the house even goes up for sale. The pricing, the planning, the presentation, the photos, the exposure that it initially gets, and that sort of thing. Those are the most important factors. An open house is a supplemental tool to kind of put the icing on top of the cake of all the things that already are in place. Now, once the house has been on the market for a couple of weeks, I mean, some of these houses, you see the agent is there every weekend holding an open house. This is not an effective way to get your house sold, you know, in this market that we're in right now, even being a fall market in Orange County, it is still very, very busy. As you know, because you're an agent for me, yesterday that she had 27 offers on her listing.
She did.
And my offer is $100,000 over asking. And guess what she did not have this last weekend? A what? An open house. Open house.
Yeah, right.
It would have been super easy if she would have, but she didn't.
Right.
And she didn't have to because she priced it right. And the house is really cute. So so after the house has been on the market for a couple of weeks, it does not make any sense to keep having an open house. It's like, it's like if someone really wants to come and see your house, you know, they'll make an appointment, that sort of thing. It's not, it's almost like it's a way for the agents to make the seller believe that they're doing something proactive, because they might not have the ability to have a tough talk with the seller about something that may be holding this house back from selling. It's could be very well the price, it could be the location, it could be the condition. You need to stage it, you need to paint it, all these things that should have been discussed ahead of time, right?
Right, right.
So when I was a preschool teacher, we used to call them parent pleasers. You know, we used to do these ABC books. And the kids had no idea, like, what did the ABCs mean? But the book made the parents really happy because they were paying the tuition, right?
Right, right.
Yes. Sure. So really, you know, and agents, it's a way for agents to meet new buyers and also get more business around the neighborhood. So that's it. So an open house is a nice additive to the plan already in place when the house is first listed, or if there's price reductions, it's a good thing so that it makes good
exposure.
Yeah. But it's definitely not the top 10 things that sell a house. So I just wanted to make that clear, because, you know, I'm seeing a lot of houses come on the market and they're sitting, you know, on the market a little bit longer because they were overpriced to begin with.
Right.
And having open house every weekend. And I just want to go up to that seller and say, the market is good. I mean, it's phenomenal, but you still can't overprice your house. It's just.
Right, right. Not the sky's the limit kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, even if it's 30,000 over, it's sitting there. Oh, do you have a cat? I just saw your cat.
Yeah, we do.
Made a cameo appearance.
Did he get in the video there? Probably.
Yeah.
Anyway. They want to get on the Zoom calls. They want to get in the action.
I know. Oh, there he is. He's in the tree in the background.
Oh, okay. There we go.
So those are two very important things that if you're a smart, you know, consumer and that you know what all the details are behind these things, that you can have a better experience when you go to buy or sell a property. So those are our good points for today.
Good stuff.
Thanks, Rick.
Good stuff. Thank you, Megan. Appreciate you as well.
All right. Have a good day. I'll talk to you later.
Talk to you later. Okay. Thanks. See you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hold on. And...